Jeremiah 4:3 this morning. Jeremiah 4:3. Title of the message this morning is just Follow Ground. Let's pray before we get into the message. Father, I just ask that you would, Lord, break up our follow ground in our hearts. Father, help us because we have hard places in our heart that we don't even see. There are many times as Christians that we go along just like the Israelites, thinking that everything is okay, that everything we do is pleasing to you. And so many times we have hard areas that are resistant to change, resistant to doing what you would have us to do. And Father, we just pray that you would help us as we go through this message, help me as I go through this message to bring across the point that we need to make sure that we don't have those hard areas in our heart that are choked with weeds and all the cares of this life that keep us from pleasing you day by day in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4, let's just start reading in verse number 1. It says, If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove, meaning to be taken out of the land. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, and in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. Fallow ground is ground that's not planted for a year or more to give the soil a rest to help replenish its nutrients. When we lived in Saskatchewan, many of the Christian farmers there still followed the Old Testament example. They let their ground lay fallow 1 year out of seven. They just rotated their fields, and 1 year out of seven, that field would lay dormant. In fact, many people would talk about going out and doing summer fallow, and all they were doing is going out with a spring harrow and just knocking down the majority of the weeds so that the farmers next door didn't complain that they were spreading seeds all over. The guy I talked to said, basically, I just go down and knock them down with spring harrow so the guys next door don't have the seeds blowing on their crops and complaining about it. But they just knocked down the reeds. So if they just left the ground, it would just become choked with weeds. The Lord had told the Israelites not to plant their fields for 1 year out of seven in Leviticus chapter, we're not going to turn there, but chapter 25 verses 4 and 5, it says, But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is year of rest unto the land. So many of the Israelites did not obey. They didn't follow that, and they didn't leave it lay fallow. And 2 Corinthians 36:20-21, this is what God's judgment on them was for not leaving it fallow. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons unto the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. So the Lord said, because you've not done this, and I'm not telling farmers here to do this, I'm just saying this is what God commanded the Old Testament. He says, because you've not done that for 490 years, I'm going to let the land lay dormant for 70 years to fulfill my command. See, some people think they get away with it. We get away with it if we don't do what God, but God here says, no, I will get what I told you to do one way or the other. So Jeremiah was just using a term that the farmers would understand. It was a society that basically was agriculture and that type of thing. And they would understand what when he's saying, for thus saith the Lord of the men in Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. It's very easy for them to understand what he is trying to say. What is I'm not a farmer, so I don't understand it all completely, but what are the characteristics of fallow ground? Well, it's hard. If you let the ground sit there for any length of time, the rain packs it. In fact, I had farmers where I asked, can I go hunting on your land? Can I drive out to get a deer? That type of thing. And they said, oh, it's fine to drive on it. Just don't drive in the same spot twice. I mean, it was that important out there on that soil type that they didn't care if I drove on it. Just don't keep driving in the same spot. So that you don't pack it down, because they just said the harvest, I can tell. He says, I can tell at the next year if somebody's driven over and over again on that spot and packed it down, I can tell it the next year. So just drive in different areas. One time doesn't hurt. But fallow ground gets hard, and it doesn't take long. You don't think about it. The rain just packs it down, and it just starts getting harder. It's also weedy. The farmers up there are more because of the neighbors. They would go down and knock, when they left their field lay dormant, they would just go down and knock down the weeds, because it doesn't take long for weeds to start growing anywhere. Even trees. I noticed places where, like, there's a house, and if certain types of trees are there and they don't mow the yard, trees start growing up. And it doesn't take long for trees to start growing. If you don't keep after a field, it doesn't take long before it just returns back to useless land, because the trees grow up, or it takes so much work to get it back. So fallow ground is hard, it's weedy, and it's unprepared. It's just unprepared. Can you imagine going out and trying to plant in a field that had been left for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and not preparing the soil first? Nobody would really expect to get harvest in that type of a field. It'd be like going out and throwing your money to the wind. Have you ever gone out and thought, well, you know, there's a bare spot in the grass, I'm just going to throw some grass seed on it, and hopefully it grows. I've done that before. It doesn't work very good normally. I mean, you have to have just the right type of soil to just throw some grass seed on it and it grows. What normally grows there before the grass seed? Weeds. I mean, just natural for weeds to grow. I did that one time. I thought, I'll go spread grass in all the bare spots. I went all around. Nothing grew. I go out there and I dig it all up with a rake and put some new black dirt on there and throw some grass seed down. Still, what comes up? Grass did come up, but weeds come up too. You know, you just always have to be preparing the soil to get the right harvest. So now let's look at the idea of a fallow heart. He says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. What he's talking about is the heart of the people. The heart of the people is what need to be ready, prepared. And so there can be a fallow heart. We can have a fallow heart. The Lord was using this term that the people would have been familiar with to describe the condition of their hearts. Their hearts were hard and weedy, and they were unprepared for God to do a work. That's not the type of heart we want, but it's so often the type of heart we have. As sinful people, it's easy to develop a fallow heart. A heart that's not ready for the Word of God. Well, it's hard to break up fallow ground. It's hard. A hard heart does not accept, when we're talking about a heart that's fallow, it does not accept good outside influence. It's hard. It's just like trying to sow that good seed in the yard, and it's like, boy, if you don't do work first, and you don't water it, and you don't, I mean, you can not water it, and weeds will grow. But you have to water it and look after it to get that to grow. Ground that is hard does not accept seed very well. It's like the clay. I don't know what the ground's like around here, but where I grew up, we had clay in our backyard, right where our garden was. We had a pretty good-sized garden. But we had a rototiller, you know, one of those front-tine rototillers. And I remember my dad, it was our job as kids to keep up on the garden. Do you think the garden was kept up on very well? Not the best. My dad would probably be out there when he got home from work, because I wasn't as obedient as I should have been as a young person. But I remember Dad saying, you need to get out there and work in the garden. So my thought is, I like running the rototiller. I would rather run the rototiller than get it on my hands and knees and pick those weeds. So I go out there. Of course, I wait till the ground is sun-baked and hard. I go out there with the rototiller and turn it on, and I'm out there, and that thing is just bouncing. I mean, just bouncing. I'm like, this is a machine. And it would not penetrate that clay. It's just like rock after it gets so hard. And that, even with a rototiller, and that's what happens sometimes with our hearts. We wait and we wait, and they get so hard that it's hard for the Word of God. It's hard for the preaching. It's hard for devotions, our quiet time with the Lord. It's hard for those things to penetrate because we allow it to get so hard. We let sin and self and all those things bake it till it's hard, and then it can't be penetrated. Christ spoke about seed falling among stony ground and how there was no lasting fruit from that type of soil. That's in Matthew 13, 1 through 24. It's a longer passage, and I don't want to turn there and read it, but he talked about stony ground where the seed could not penetrate. And when we have a hard heart, it does not accept the preaching of words, God, the Word of God. It does not accept rebuke from others. Hard hearts are like the garden and me trying to till it. A hard heart, I mean, that tiller, I could just sit there in one spot and it would just be bounce, 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 bounce. It just didn't do any good. And that's kind of what our hearts can get like sometimes when God's trying to do a work in them. It just keeps bouncing off. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been there? I think most of us, if we're honest, we've been there before. We've been to the point where we've had a hard heart in some area. Maybe it's just one area of our life, but we've had a hard heart before. You know, what is it? What is it when you didn't obey your parents? You had a hard heart. Why didn't, if I didn't go out there and do what my dad said and work in the garden, I had a hard heart there. And I think all of us, if we would admit it, we've had a hard heart where we haven't accepted the Word of God. We haven't accepted the rebukes. Let me ask you, are you there now? Are there areas of your life where you have a hard heart? Some people just grow up and they never leave the hard heart behind. Well, Jesus condemned the majority of the Jews in his day for having a hard heart, so I think it's something that's pretty normal or common. Let's look at Matthew 13, 15 for a minute here. Matthew 13 and verse 15. I think it's easy for religious people to have a hard heart. Notice, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Notice, the people's heart is waxed gross, and that the idea of that is to be dull or calloused. Their hearts were calloused to the teaching of even Jesus. And that's what we are when we are calloused to the Word of God. We're calloused to Christ as well. They're dull of, sometimes we can get dull of hearing. I think sometimes we hear it so much and we reject it so often that we just become dull of hearing. You know, that's what, it may not be that you're involved in deep sin to be, have a hard heart. It's just not listening carefully to God as He speaks to you. A hard heart's just not open to change. You can still be a decent person. You might think of yourself that I'm a good person, but you're just not open to change. Let me ask you, how long has it been since your heart has been worked and softened by the Word of God? How long has it been since you just let God's Word just speak to you on a daily basis? Every day it's like, God, I just want to know Your Word more. Let me ask you, how long has it been since you were excited about getting up and doing, having your quiet time? How long has it been since you just got up, woke up out of bed and thought, boy, I want to get into my Bible. Well, I'm excited about spending some time in prayer today. I think we've so easily get hardened to the things of God, and I have to do my devotions today. But how long has it been since? Like, man, I want to get into God's Word and find out what He has for me today. That's kind of like a soft heart, right? A desire for the Word brings a softness to our desire for God's Word. Probably if we're really honest with ourselves and with God, we would see that there are areas in our hearts that have not been worked up for a long time. You know, things in our life, different attitudes, different, maybe it's obedient to parents, whatever it is, anger, different things, and those things haven't been worked up for a long time. We just have this little patch. You know, we have 100 acres here in our heart. And there's 10 acres over here that we've given to God. And there's 10 acres over here that we reserve for what things we want to do. And then 10 acres over here that we reserve for this anger that I have towards somebody. And we got 10 acres over here that we reserve, and 10 and 50. And we give God 10%, but we haven't really cultivated the rest of the heart, of our heart. And we haven't allowed God to go in and cultivate the rest of our heart. Farmers do a lot of no-till farming these days, but I think for our hearts it might be good to get back to the old good old plow and really take a deep cut and turn over that ground. Break up the hardness that's in our hearts. I notice they got a plow sitting behind all this stuff piled up out here that might be planning on really digging deep in that field this year and spreading out that lime or whatever it is out there from the water pits out there, but they're probably going to plow up that ground this year and really do a job on it. And I think sometimes the hearts just need that. We need to say, Lord, take your plow to my heart. Soften it up. Well, it's not only hard, it's weedy. Back in Jeremiah there, it says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Field will only stay soft continually if it's cultivated. If it's not watched and worked, it will become choked with weeds. And that's the illustration that's used to give an example of this kind of heart. Verse 3 says, not to sow among the thorns. How many of you think it'd be a good idea to have a field choked with thorns and to go out there and just start throwing the seed in? Not a good idea, right? How many times do we come to church with weeds all through our heart? And we wonder sometimes why we don't change. Because our hearts are hard. There's all the things choking out the seed, and the seed, as the word goes out and we spread, the word is being spread, even in our devotions or in our quiet time, in our prayer time. We're spreading seed, but we're spreading it all on weeds. Our hearts are full of weeds, and that seed won't take effect. If we have worldly desires and activities that are filling our hearts, then any seed that's planted in those times are just wasted. And I think that's the reason why many people struggle. We come to church, we even agree with what's being said. I think many times, most of you probably agree with at least 70% of what I say. Maybe 90, maybe 100%. Why don't we change? Because so often our hearts are hard, and they're full of weeds, and we don't want to get rid. You know what the truth is in our lives? We like weeds. We like the weeds. Some people grow weeds. They just like it, you know. I've heard that canola is considered a weed, you know, in some places. You know, farmers up out west, they grow it. They love it. Makes them a lot of money. What are the weeds that can choke a heart and make it full and unfit to receive God's word. Well, there's many different types of weeds in a field, and in different areas of the country, you have different weeds as a problem. Just like in each individual life, there's different weeds that choke out and make the heart full of those things. What is it that is growing in the heart that chokes out the good that God wants to do in your heart? See, one person out here, maybe heart might be full of dandelions. Another's might be full of ragweed. How many of you like ragweed? My wife hates ragweeds because she's allergic to it. You know, every heart might have different. I mean, some people want dandelions; they eat them. I don't want to eat dandelions. You know what I had to do with dandelions when I was young? We didn't have spray. So my dad had this thing with a handle on it, and it came out, and it came to like a little fork at the end. And I was supposed to go out in the yard, and I was supposed to dig down, and Dad said, you got to get all the root out, or it's going to come right back. How many times do you think it got all the root out? Remember, we were dealing with clay. Rarely did I get all the root out. That's a problem in our lives, too. We go out and just superficially take off the top of the weeds. And then we expect the weeds not to come back. We don't dig right down to the root and say, this is the real problem here. This is really why I have this problem. We just superficially nip it off and then go on our way. And before we ever get home, that weed's just starting to grow back up again. Our lives aren't changed. What are some of the weeds that you have growing in your heart and in your life? Is there anger there? Is there bitterness because of some past hurt in your life? Is there resentment in your heart toward other people? Do you have an unforgiving heart toward someone who you feel wronged you? Are there activities in your life that are weeds? Not all activities are wrong, but some activities become weeds and they're not wrong. I can tell you one thing, your life is full of weeds if you've not been reading your Bible, plain and simple. If you're not in your devotional time, your quiet time with God, your life is full of weeds. Your life is full of weeds if you haven't been spending time with God in prayer. Just the truth. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you paused long enough in the Word of God and in prayer to meditate so that God could work in your heart? Where you read through the Scripture, you pray about it, and you just ask God, God, change me. Lord, show me from your Word the areas of my heart. Lord, get out your plow and rip up my heart. Lord, get out the plow and then after that, take the disc to it. Then after that, whatever it needs takes, Lord, maybe you need to get out the plow again. You know, it's interesting that fallow ground. If I just say, okay, my ground's fallow, I'm going to go out and rip it up. How long before it needs it again? Isn't it continual? I mean, isn't the work in the field continual? You plow it. And I'm going back days. I know they don't do this all today, but you plow it, you disc it, you pack it, and then they pack it back down sometimes. Out west, they have these huge rollers that they go out and they plant the ground, then they pack it back down. They make it nice and smooth. It looks beautiful out there, but, you know, they're constantly at the field, and then they're spraying for weeds, and they're fertilizing, and the farmers are constantly out there working in their field. And we need to be constantly working in our hearts if we think that God's going to do a work in our lives. You know what I think our problem is? Our problem is that many of us are just like the Laodicean church. Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. I think so many times that's where we're at today in our lives. We think we've got it. We've made it. We're here in our Christian lives. and we don't see that we have hard hearts, and we don't see all the weeds. You know, if we'd spend more time in reading the scriptures, meditating and praying about it, we wouldn't have so many weeds. There are some guys that you can just tell they don't care much about their fields because they just look bad. Maybe they're supposed to be organic. You know, you see weeds growing up all through them. Well, the fields are also unprepared. When a field is unprepared, the seed will blow away or be eaten by birds or choked by the weeds that are already mature. When our hearts are unprepared for God's word, it will not penetrate our hearts. We go to our devotional. How many times do you go to your devotion time? I read a quote on this from a guy this week, and I didn't have time to go back and find it after I thought about this. But how many times do you go to your devotional time in the morning, in your quiet time, and you go there, and before you ever get there, there's 20 other things that are crowding out your thoughts? He said something like this, and I won't get a good quote on it, but he basically said, I feel like I go to my devotion time, my quiet time in the morning, and it feels like there's 20 wild animals racing at me to take up that time. And he says, every morning I have to fight them off. How many times do you do that and you don't fight them off? I was thinking this week, I told my wife, I think it was when we went to bed at night, I said, you know, this morning I didn't win the battle. We got talking about something, and it was our quiet time, and we got talking about something, and it's like all of a sudden, oh, man, we only have 20 minutes left, and we have to rush and do our Bible reading and our prayer time in 20 minutes, and it's like, that's not enough. That's not enough time to break up your fallow ground. How many times do you spend, you know, people spend 5 minutes, Marilyn gave me this quote, it was from a pastor that we had, we read our daily crouton and think that's God's going to do a work in our hearts because we read that little devotional book that somebody else does. You know what? God doesn't want you to get your Bible reading from what somebody else says. He wants to speak to you through what? His Word. And I'm not saying you can't get help from your daily crouton, but that's not enough. That's not what God expects from you. God expects you to be in His Word so He can change your life. That's what God expects. He expects you to be spending time meditating upon His Word so He can change your life. He wants you to spend quality time in there just saying, God, you know, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. But we spend so little time. You think about it, over the last week, how much time have you spent earnestly desiring God to change you? That will tell you if you have a hard heart or not already. Because we need to be continually being changed to be more like Christ. I don't care how mature you are. Paul said, I have not attained. And how many of us can think that we are even close to being a Paul? We see so easily how even a man after God's own heart can go off track. And so we need God, we need to be in His Word on a daily basis and just asking Him, God, help me to change. And when God points something out, we need to be repentant over it. Say, God, change me. I see my sin and rip up this fallow ground. Lord, I know that You're sowing among the thorns here. I know that there's things in my life that have to be changed, and I just keep letting those weeds grow, and Your Word can't have the effect. And so, Lord, come in and show me those weeds and help me to just tear them out. Help me to use that thing to just drive into the ground and pull up the whole weed. Because, Lord, I could see that my 100 acres here, there's just so little given to You, and how much of our heart has really been given to God. How much of the 100 acres have you really given to Him? Or is it 90 and 95% choked with the weeds of the world? We need to call out like the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search me. Know my heart. He knows it anyway, but the psalmist is saying, Lord, break up my fallow ground. Lead me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, check out all the plants in my heart and see if there are weeds. Let me ask you this morning, is your heart hard? Are there weeds in your heart? I think if you're honest, all of us would have to say there's hard areas in our heart. There's weedy areas in our heart. There's a place in our heart that we have not prepared to receive the Word of God. Has pride or bitterness or any sinful habit kept you from experience what God wants for you? Is it keeping your heart untuned to receive God's Word? God wants us to have repentant hearts that are ready for Him to just come in and do the work. I mean, we have to get into the Word and in prayer and be repentant, but He wants to come in and do a work in our hearts and change us. You know, weeds grow when we neglect God's Word. Weeds grow when we neglect prayer. Weeds grow when we become apathetic in our reading and our prayer. Weeds of pride can grow in our lives. Weeds of a lack of love for God and others. Weeds of being lukewarm and 100 other things can grow up in our hearts. We need to first get in there with the plow, seeing the need through the Word of God and repenting and breaking up that ground. But the farmer doesn't stop with the plow. He then uses the disc and he plants a new crop. Got to be in the Bible, planting a new crop. Out with the old. The Bible continues, says out with the old, in with the new. You can't just repair the ground and then put the same thing back in and expect a different result. That's the problem with many of us. We plow up the ground a little bit. Then we go right back to the same thing. We start planting the same thing, the same lusts, the same desires, the same things in our heart, and we expect a different crop. But all we get is weeds back. Breaking up ground is a process. It takes time and work. It's not like just going forward at the invitation. Going forward, the invitation is a good first step, but so many people come forward at the invitation and that's the only step they take. That's not what the invitation is for. The invitation is time to come and say, God, I need help. Lord, I need you to do a work in my heart and I want to change. But then you leave here and so many times that's where it ends. That's where it can't end there, or that is useless. You have to say, Lord, I'm going to change and I'm going to make these steps to change. I'm going to rip these weeds out and I'm going to replace them with right things. You can't just say, I'm going to stop doing whatever it is and just stop doing it. Well, you got to replace it with maybe you don't rip out rotten music and then just not replace it. You put good music in. You know what? Good music is a learned taste. Why do people learn to like different types of music? It's normally a taste thing. Some people don't like ice cream. They are weird, strange people. But a lot of things are taste. Good music requires to learn a new taste. The reason so many people continue, they get saved and they were listening to raunchy music, and then they go to saved raunchy music, because they never developed a taste for what's right. A lot of work to get a harvest, to get the right harvest. But in the end, it's worth it. Because you bring forth the right fruit of righteousness in the life. Let me ask you this morning, is Jeremiah describing your heart? Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among the thorns. Is that a description of your heart? I think all of us would have to say there are areas in our heart that are hard. There's areas in our heart that are choked with weeds. How long has it been since you just thought about your heart and said, God, work in my heart? How long has it been since you got out the plow and just start working? Lord, search my heart. How long has it been since you asked God, Lord, I want to change. I want to be more like you. As a congregation, we want to grow physically. You know what? God's more concerned about your heart right now. He's concerned about every heart out here. He's more concerned what your heart is like right now. He's more concerned about your heart than he is about how many people are in here. You know what? When our hearts are right, I believe God will bring the people in. But maybe he needs to do a work in us first. Change our hearts. Change our attitudes. Change our thoughts. Father, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and change us. Make us more like your Son. Help us to love you and to please you and want to do what's right, Lord. Help our hearts to be changed. Help us to want to be more like your Son. Help us to want to tear up that hard soil and tear out those weeds and replace them with things that would be pleasing to you, so that we can go forward from here rejoicing. Father, that we can get up in the morning and say, oh, you know what? I've got an hour I can spend God's word this morning, and think that it's a blessing instead of a curse. Lord, how often do we look at spending that time as a curse because we don't even do it? Everything else has become so important and more important than your word in our lives. And Lord, that just so much shows how our hearts are hard. Revive us, Lord. Help us to be repentant at our hard hearts and the weeds that have grown up there. Change us, Lord, and make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see the need for change. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.